We invite you to take your Bibles and open them to 1 Peter chapter 3. We will be reading from the first 12 verses. I think all of us here would readily agree that God owns everything. He has created everything for His pleasure. Is there anything that He values highly? As I read this scripture, take note of what He values highly. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Know that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In a moment, for those who are able, we're going to kneel. And I want you to realize we have a great God whose ears are open to each person in this audience who will pray to Him. Think about the Creator of the vast realms of the universe listening with open ears to you. What a great privilege as we come before Him in prayer. Let us kneel.
I want to thank Brother Ken for his sincere prayer. For each one of you who have been praying, we ask you to continue to pray that God's name would be glorified this morning. The title of the message is in the form of a question. Is your home a holy, godly home? I want each one of us to answer that before Almighty God. In Genesis chapter 1, in the first 23 verses, God tells us how He has created everything, and it was good. And then in verse 26 of chapter 1, He says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every living, over every creaturing thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which a man God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage, as God has intended it, is to bring joy. The wedded life is meant to be the happiest, fullest, and purest part of our life. It is really God's completion of man and woman to be together. He saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and he created a woman to stand by his side. But then we go down to Genesis chapter 3. And it says in verse 1 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. He said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then in verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he could eat. We see here the battle has begun. We find that the sweet relationship between God and his creation was marred by the attack on the first home that God had designed. But loved ones, I want us to realize this morning anew that daily attack is upon our homes, my home and your home. We need to be aware of the devil's devices, our enemy, who hates God, and he wants to destroy anything that would be a blessing to God and bring him honor and glory. You know, extreme attacks have been openly by such movements that our brother mentioned there in the beginning, abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, and so on we could go. But there are more cunning ways. I think we are attacked even here at Pleasant Hill, in our homes and our families. Being impatient with our companion. Lack of deep respect for each other. A lack of love that needs to be shown. Taking each one for granted. Expecting a perfect companion when we are not perfect. On and on we could go. Loved ones, we need to be alert, just as the devil caused sin and disunity in Adam and Eve's home. He is trying to do the same in every home here today. It seems as though too many men today have lost their spiritual backbone to live for the Lord, and our families are hurting. I believe God has an answer to the problem. There's one verse we want to look at this morning. It is Ephesians 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. There are two commandments here. Husbands, love your wife even as yourself. And verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then wives, see that you reverence your husband. Verse 22, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I want to look here at three words: love, reverence, and respect. Love is a deep and tender feeling of affection for our attachment and our devotion to a person. Reverence is a feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, and awe as for something that's sacred, and respect to feel and to show honor or esteem for one who is held in high regard. Husbands, is this your love experience this morning with your wife? And wives, is this your reverence and respect experience with your husband? Or are we allowing Satan, the enemy of our soul, to destroy our homes? Have you ever stopped to think about our traditional marriage vows? How many ifs are in that traditional wedding vows? I promise today to love you if you continue to treat me in a way that makes me feel good about myself. Or I promise to love you if you keep your attraction even after having a number of children in our family. How many of them are in our traditional vows? None. We promise we will be faithful, we will love, we will serve, we will give of ourselves. There are some problems that exist in our marriage that give us a feeling of a lack of love and respect. I believe there are three things that aid this problem. As I mentioned, the devil desires to destroy your home and my home. The old nature that does not want to die. Every one of us has a nature, I want my way. And we need to deal with that in our homes. And thirdly, the unsaved world that has set up its own standard. The Corinthian church faced the same problems in the church there as we do today. A misunderstanding of male and female roles and relationships. In Corinth, women demanded the same treatment as men. Similar to many women today, they regard marriage and the raising of children as unjust restrictions of their rights. Bearing children would spoil their looks. They were asserting their independence, demanding jobs held by men, wore men's clothing and hairstyles, and disregarded all types of being a lady. In many homes today, women control the family by showing disrespect for men who are not expressing love to them, and many men have become timid and withdrawn. Paul and Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, began their discussion by marriage and speaking of submission. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. But they both end their discussion by speaking of respect. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husbands. In 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If we as husbands and wives approach each other with a love and respect connection as our goal, every marriage will improve and bring more honor and glory to God. If we as men do not display love for our wife, they will react without respect. And if we do not receive respect, many times we react without love. This becomes a vicious cycle in many homes. I believe the closer that we live to the Lord and love Him and serve Him, the closer our relationship will be with each other and our love and respect will grow. In Ephesians 5 and verse 33, I'll repeat, nevertheless, let any one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You take notice in that verse, there are no loopholes to disobey. We need to do what it says, not if he or she does this or that. Women are much more apt to want to talk and express their feelings. Well, too many times we as men just get quiet and don't want to talk, don't want to deal with the problems. When that happens, our wife wonders if we really love them. She may spend her energy seeking to help change us by her loving criticism and complaints, which causes more men to feel disrespected, and we become quiet. Try not to react. Sisters, a sweet, tender woman can be misunderstood if she becomes too negative. In one national study, 400 men were given a choice between going through two different negative experiences. Which would they choose? To be left alone and unloved in the world, or to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? 74% said they would prefer being alone and unloved in this world. Can you imagine that? They were not saying they don't need love, but feeling respect was the most important. All of us can live longer without food than without water. For men, love is like food, and respect is like water. Respect is a key to motivating your husband. A wife's softening tone and facial expressions can do more for her marriage than you as sisters can ever imagine. We as men get too busy with self-interest, a job, sports, hunting. Our wives feel the lack of deep love and caring. And when sisters seek outside occupations, have their own checkbooks, and do not take serious their husband's leadership as a spiritual leader. These husbands are feeling disrespected, and your marriage is headed for the ropes. Let's look at some ways to deepen love and respect between we as husbands and wives. Let us turn again to God's word. Nevertheless, let everyone you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. As a husband, I must love my wife as I love myself, and my wife must respect me as her husband. Could it be any clearer? Paul isn't making a suggestion. He's giving a command from God. The Greek word used here is agape, meaning unconditional love. And the rest of that passage strongly suggests that the husbands receive unconditional respect. In 1 Peter 3:1, therefore, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversations of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Conversation speaking here is our living pattern. We should have respectful behavior. As husbands, we should be earning respect, as well as wives should be earning our love. But we are commanded to love and show respect unconditionally. This unconditional respect is given in 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy of a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when we are buffeted for our faults, if we take it patiently? But when we do well and suffer it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Men, what can we do to help our wife to know how deep our love is for them? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I think that every husband should understand that when a woman or wife makes a deliberate choice to place her hand in our hand as our companion, she becomes our wife and she takes her life with all her hopes and fears, with all its possibilities of joy and sorrow, all its capacity of developing, all the tender and sacred interest is placed in his hand, that he is under the most solemn allegiance to do all in his power to make that life happy, beautiful, noble, and blessed. To do this, he must be ready to make any personal sacrifice, nothing less than that can be complied in loving as Christ loved his church and gave him for it. Don't we take it for granted many times the price that Christ has paid for our salvation? He died for us. He sacrificed for us. And we as men are supposed to be doing that for our wives. I need to put my likes and my desires and my opinions and my preferences and welfare aside to please her and to meet her needs, that we are truly dying to self to live for my wife. I believe this is what Christ demands of us as men. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In Ephesians chapter 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it even as the Lord the church. To nourish and to cherish means to esteem, to hold as high value. Your wife needs to feel to be the most treasured person in your heart, in your eyes, except the Lord. When this happens, she will want to respect you in a similar way the church reverenced Christ. Remember that your love motivates her respect, and her respect motivates your love. Some other ways I need to show my love is to speak well of her in the presence of others. Help her to make wise decisions. Hold her hand. Set aside special times just for her, other than the sexual times. Pray for her. And also, as women, sisters, pray for your husbands. We all need that prayer. And that's what draws us together more than anything else. Also, as men, we need to learn. Many times when there's a problem our wife has and she shares with us, she don't always want an answer. She just wants us to sympathize with her and let her know that we are concerned and we'll care. We want to give a quick answer many times, and that's not what she wants. We need to keep our commitments to her. The vows that you made to her, are we upholding the vows every day in every way? We need to keep our eyes and our desires only for her. Too many men today have roaming eyes. And your wife knows that. And it hurts her heart. We need to be patient with our wife when she doesn't snap to it as fast as we think she should. Don't be too quick to give a negative response to an idea she may have. I remember some years ago, we visited a family in our home, and they had a new Venetian blind on their door. And Patsy said to me, wouldn't it be nice to have that on ours? And she mentioned to me later that I made 5 negative reasons why we didn't need that, to my discredit. We need to take time to listen. If we think she's not saying is very important, don't be in the next room before she finishes what she's saying. But men, we get too busy too many times and neglect our wife. We need to be concerned enough to point out in love areas in our wife that needs correction. Maybe her dress to be more modest, that she would be an influence on the children to help them to understand the seriousness of living for God. Sisters, what can you do to help your husband feel respected? In Ephesians 3:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are we as men, as we as women, submitted to God? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. A wife who properly submits to her husband submits herself to the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. The head, the original, gives the orders. The body isn't. You need to if a body doesn't respond to the head, it is either crippled or paralyzed. There is one exception. If our husband tells us to do something contrary to God's word, in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other disciples answered and said, we need to obey God rather than man. A wife who responds willingly and lovingly honors God. She honors her husband, her church, and herself. She also becomes a beautiful testimony of the love of God. Remember 1 Peter 3:1, women can win their husbands without a word through a chaste and respectful behavior. When your husband loved you and married you, he felt that you believed in him and appreciated him far more than you may ever realize. It touched his spirit. He married you and he thought that you'd be his cheerleading wife forever. But through family life, of responsibilities and work, our showing of respect has become less and less. Things we need to do to rekindle that respect so that he will respond lovingly. I remember quite a number of years ago when the church was dealing with concerns in Kansas. I went out there for a weekend to take care of the church matters. My wife couldn't get along for some reason. And that night when I went to go to bed and opened my suitcase, there was a note in there from her. I've been praying for you that God would lead you as you deal with this concern. We need to be told with spoken or written words that you respect him as your spiritual leader and the family, and that you will pray for each other. I remember some years ago I was asked to teach a young people's married couples class to love your wife. So at home, I asked Patsy, how do you know I love you? And I asked her to respond by writing down some things that she could think of. It went for a week or more, and I thought, well, she mustn't be able to find anything. But then she had a paper with about 12 things on there, little things that I did that I never thought meant that much to her. You know, that did something to me, that I learned to respect her and love her more than ever before. As wives, you need to ask him to tell you some ways in which would help him feel respected. And that we as men are supposed to have it all together, but we don't always. And we need your prayers, and we need your suggestions, and we need your help. My wife was a very submissive wife, but she gave me a lot of encouragement. And if she felt I was wrong, she discussed it with me. But if she felt it was what I stood for was according to Scripture, she was always submissive. We didn't have a perfect marriage, but we had a good marriage. And I think we both enjoyed it. Giving reasons for disagreements quietly and reasonably, but never attacked your husband's right to lead. Every marriage needs improvements. Some marriages, some people say you never had any disagreements. I feel that any person says that between a husband and wife, they lie about other things. As a husband, we need to ask two questions. Is my wife coming across to me disrespectfully because she is feeling unloved? We need to ask ourselves that question. The second one is, what I say or do next will it come across as loving or unloving to my wife? When there's problems in our families, and I'm thankful for the many godly families we have here at Pleasant Hill, but I know we have some hurting families, and every one of our families could have more precious moments if we just take life serious. Who will be the first to correct the problems in your home? I believe the one who is the most mature in the walk with the Lord will start out. 1 Peter 3:11 says, let us eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In your marriage, be the first to seek peace and pursue it. Take time to seek the face of the Lord. We need our hearts to be melded together, confess to one another. In Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Our children, in learning to walk, fall and get up many times. Just so in our marriage, we need to work hard to please each other. Another problem I find in many homes, when a husband comes home from work, a wife will unload all her problems of the day on her husband. Just a little note here on the side. Greeting with love. And he had a hard day too, probably, as well as you had a hard day. But let him know that you're concerned about his day as well as her day. And instead of unloading it, make sure he has a meal first. You know, we can handle things better on a full stomach than we can on an empty stomach. Just a little idea there of how to improve that. Make your time together a time that would glorify the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, she was showing respect and honor, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, you're not afraid with any amazements. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, is some instructions to older sisters in the Lord. Supposed to be discreet, chaste, and teach your younger women to be keepers at home, obedience to their own husbands, that they may the word of God be not blasphemed. Marriage is a test to show of how unconditionally love and respect your wife as you obey, honor, and please the Lord. Our first goal as a Christian is to obey and please the Lord with our lives. The actions of our mate do not cause the problem. It just reveals the way we are in our hearts. Let's remember that. no matter how depressing or irritating my spouse might be, my response is to be responsible. And Peter wrote, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He saw it was a priority for the husband to become a student of his wife. We don't always understand each other, but we need to study our wife, and we understand where she's coming from. It helps us to love and appreciate her more. As a husband, am I to love my wife? Loves the church. It always begins with intentional effort to grow in an understanding of her wife. I read an account of a woman who lost her husband of 40 years in a sudden heart attack. She said the resulting grief has caused her to value those years together that they had. She said when she heard couples arguing, she sometimes spoke to them saying, "You don't have time for this." She noted that the wasted moments in our lives become more and more precious when they cannot be repeated. Please do not waste those precious moments. I read of a minister by the name of E.U. Hill. He was in Zion Missionary Church in Los Angeles. He gave these words at the passing of his wife, Jane, who died of cancer. At her funeral, he spoke of some of the ways she made him a better man. As a young preacher, he had trouble making a good living. He came home from work one evening, and his wife had candles burning. She said, "We'll have a candlelight service together." He went to the bathroom to wash his hands and flipped the light switch, and there was no electric. He went back into the bedroom for something, and there was no electric. He went to his wife and said, "Why? We don't have no electric." But she said, "I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill." And she thought it would be good for just us to have a candlelight service tonight and enjoy each other. We have both worked hard. You have worked hard and I have worked hard. You know, this woman, this wife could have put her husband down, but she encouraged him by doing something very simple. She came from a home where she had plenty, but she was now a man who was struggling, and she needed to stand faithfully by him. Oh, how important that is, as never before. Dr. James Dobson, remember the last prayer he heard his dad pray as they were together as a family. He said, "Thank you, God, for what we have, which we know we cannot keep. I wish every newlywed could capture that incredible concept. If we only really realize how brief our time is on this earth, then most of those irritations and frustrations which drive us apart would seem so unimportant." We have but a short time to live, yet we contaminate our lives with bickering and insults and angry words. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And there's a question I'd like for every man to answer. Is my wife more like Jesus today than on a wedding day because of me. Brethren, the need is for us to love our wives unconditionally. And sisters, please give us as husbands the unconditional respect that we so much need. Oh, how the Lord wants to bless and protect our homes, that we would have godly homes. Let's seek His face above everything else. Life is so short. I'm longing for the Lord to come to take me home. But let's be faithful until that time comes, and especially in our homes and our marriages. It's affecting our children, our offspring, our grandchildren. It's so important that God looks at our lives and sees that we desire to serve Him faithfully above everything else. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.
I have a question. Did you accept this as Merle's message? Or was this a message from God? The effect that it will have in our lives determines how we feel about it. I believe it's a message from God to me and to you. Let's obey it. Let's stand for closing prayer.